All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome. It's We Watch Stuff, number three. No, you did not miss last week's show. This is actually number three. Funny thing about lightning, it can seriously mess up electronic equipment. So here we are at number three after taking a week off. Which I don't understand the point of a surge protector if you can still get an electric surge.
Well, like I say, it protects against certain surges.
Yeah. I guess lightning outside your window isn't covered, like literally outside the window. But anyways, Shahid and I are here again, and I guess let's talk about the big thing. We got 2 weeks of Game of Thrones we can talk about. You saw 22 Jump Street, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay, I did not. So we got that. It's really been a bunch of sports for me outside of that stuff.
Yeah, let's get this out the way now. Transformers will probably not be talked about this week. Let's not get people's hopes up because we'll probably talk about Transformers when we finish talking about Samoa Joe. So disclaimer out the way.
Nice. Yeah. So, anyways, let's talk about the big stuff to get it out of the way, and maybe we'll run out of steam, and then we can get into the Transformer stuff. Game of Thrones, the last 2 weeks, have kind of redeemed the season in my eyes. I mean, the Battle at the Wall, and then this week's episode called Children, the season finale. Wow, that was some good TV, 2 weeks in a row. If I, like, finally advanced everyone's stories, finally.
Oh, definitely. I guess we can start with last week's, with the whole Battle at the Wall. And, of course, the easy comparison is to compare it to Season 2 Blackwater, the same director and the last time they had just one episode focusing on one thing was that episode. And the one thing I got out of it was just I think sometimes we take stuff for granted watching TV. That just looked amazing on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Just to think that that's, they said that was the most expensive episode, $12 million. It looked a lot more expensive than $12 million. And it's kind of like you never really got caught into, even when you had giants and woolly mammoths and all this stuff going on, it never seemed fake.
That was the impressive part of it. You had the mammoths, the giants came out, and I like the interpretation of giants because I actually had forgotten that last season they showed one, but they didn't seem all that big. They seemed bigger, but these guys seemed, I almost said giant, gigantic. I mean, the scale of them, they looked like a three or four-story tall building. And especially the visual of the one giant riding the mammoth out of the woods. How cool was that?
Definitely.
It was funny. I don't really pay attention to how much episodes cost or the money side of this stuff much anymore. So to find out that only cost $12 million, that actually makes that episode way more impressive. It looked like a budget movie. And better in some cases.
Yeah, definitely. I don't pay attention to the price either. I just remember standing out because people, I think I was reading Entertainment Weekly, and they were interviewing Benioff and Weiss. They were saying how proud they were of the episode. And, Neil Marshall is the perfect director for, he can take a little bit of money and make it go a long way. And I think some people, they can do the big battles, but they get the details lost, and he can do both. Like, you see a massive battle, but you can follow through and, see everything, pay attention. Parts of it I like better than Blackwater because I think the action was shot a little better as far as the fight scenes, And then, of course, it's just practice. I know some people didn't like it as much. I think it's because people cared about the Lannisters more than what was happening with the Wall. And even though they've been building a story for 4 years, they really didn't do it. Some people said they didn't do a good job. It was it's not like Mance was trying to, be a warlord or take over. He's running. he's trying to save people. And well, if they would have built that up more, I think it would have added more stakes to it. Now it's just like, you know, a bunch of criminals at a wall fighting a bunch of savages.
Yeah, and that goes into the last episode of the season two when you finally got the point of view of the wildlings and why they're going to the wall and why they want to pass it. I've seen this written as well, the criticism of the Mance storyline that he showed up for one episode last season and then you're just supposed to remember who it is. I mean, with a show this large of scope, you've got to keep checking in with people or you totally forget about them. So I think if they would have showed a little more of him, maybe even in season three, just talking about, giving reason, giving something to why they're doing what they're doing, I think that would have helped. And it would have made because the story at the wall is just kind of boring. Like, they've laid hints, like, Tyrion had mentioned something about, everybody plays battle or something like that inside the walls when the real battle's outside. And then the red-haired chick, who I cannot remember her name.
Egret.
Okay.
What's her name? Melisandre.
Okay.
Yeah.
She even tells him, hey, you got to go north because that's where the real problem is. And so I don't know. It gave Stannis a purpose, which was nice, but I wish they would have explained that a little bit better. And
the funny thing about that is the first scene of the first episode dealt with the wall and the white and more the White Walkers. And they've been dropping hints talking about the wall and they're pointing to the wall and the White Walkers for like four seasons. But until that battle, it never really seemed like a big deal. It just seemed like, Jon Snow moping around and you got all these rapists and thugs and stuff just, kind of wasting time. And they'll drop a clue here when you first see, the White Walkers on a horse and then you see how, they turn a baby into a White Walker, like hints kind of, dropping in and out. And I think the biggest, it's not really a problem, but it's kind of, people don't like to think about it. Game of Thrones is still a fantasy show. And whenever you start going on the wall and you see zombies and stuff, it kind of pulls people into that. And I think people kind of get, we talked about, that nerd thing doesn't exist, but people tend to forget it's still a fantasy show. You got dragons, you got magic, you got zombies. And they rather, focus on the Lannisters and focus on soap opera stuff. And focus on Daenerys being, blind Harriet Tubman. And then all of a sudden you see, giants riding woolly mammoths. It's kind of like, here we go. I got to see Jon Snow being ghosts and goblins, more or less.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. And it's funny, I think the final episode of the season was really it really brought the fantasy aspect out. And I say that knowing that I've watched this for four seasons now, I've seen dragons. I've seen a guy get cut in half and then come back from the dead. Just multitudes of different fantasy elements, the White Walkers. But it never occurred to me that this was not that it didn't occur to me, but it never really hit home that this is a fantasy show. Because
and I know
the,
what part you're talking
it's
about,
all politics.
Too. Yeah.
And it's all politics. And so, like, last week, and honestly, even last week when the Giants came out riding mammoth, it never really set in that I'm watching a show that just had a giant riding a mammoth.
And shooting a big bow and arrow. Yeah.
Yes, which that was great, by the way. Just and so I haven't read the books. So maybe it's like that in the books. It's a little more fantasy-driven in the book. But, maybe as far as the limited budget as well, but nothing seems overly unrealistic, as dumb as that sounds.
No, that makes
sense.
With
a show like this. I mean, the one guy switches his face and tells Arya to come find him. And I know this is last season. That was last season, wasn't it?
That was season, was it two? Was it? I'm trying to remember. Was it season two? It was season. Was it two or three? I can't. I think it might have been two, because it was right when they were they left with Tyler. She left from Tyler, so it was probably end of season two.
Okay, so yeah, so that was, but that part, I just think I remember watching and then saying, what the hell was that when he changed his face? That's how jarring it was. Like, wait. Never mind, I've seen Dragon. I fully accept Dragon. I don't know why. You know?
Because like, you've seen Dragon before, so.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. But, when he changed his face, and I guess because they had kept it so grounded, but then, like, the last episode with the Giants and that, and then especially the season finale, when the skeletons rose from the ground.
And not only that, a little girl, all of a sudden you see a little girl throwing fireballs. I'm like, you turn into Super Mario Brothers.
That was so, I'm sorry, dude, that was so cool when she started throwing those fireballs.
Yeah, because it was like, I was wondering, like, what's happening? Like, you see the fireballs, I'm like, where is it coming from? And she says, you just see this little dirty-faced girl that's, you know, throwing fireballs, killing skeletons. I'm like, yeah, this is definitely fantasy.
Well, I was expecting to see catapults for some reason. I mean, the most accurate catapults ever, of course. But, you know, and then they just show this little goblin girl, and my girl texts me going, what the hell is going on? I responded immediately, I have no clue. And then they show that disheveled little bitch up there just throwing stuff. I was like, oh, well, this show's definitely taking a turn. But I don't know. I'm actually kind of hoping that it gets a little more fantasy-driven. And I know it's going to remain, political with the different families, especially after the events of the last three episodes, really.
More or less,
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Game of Thrones, to me, has always been a show about 7 episodes of setting stuff up, 2 episodes of making sure, all right, we'll give you some sort of payoff, and then 1 episode of, okay, now we're going to take a breath and we'll see you in a year.
Mm-hmm.
This season seemed to be a lot longer in that respect, even though it was the same.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was done.
Okay. No, I think what tricked people was usually you expect big things from the ninth episode, usually when something serious happens. And they had Joffrey dying kind of early. And, you know, you had that. It wasn't any of the lulls that other season might have had. Like, you had that, and you had, you know, stuff from, like, season 1 and on picking up. You know, you find out Littlefinger was pulling the strings from the whole time. Stuff just, you know, kind of called back from earlier seasons made sense. And then you had to build up with, you know, Tyrion and his trial. You know, so kind of like it was stuff always happening every two episodes. Not you had something at the beginning, stuff kind of builds up, you catch up on things, and then you have the big thing, episode 9, and then you catch a breather, episode 10. Because Sunday, you know, it was definitely not a breather. It was a longer episode than normal, and a lot of things happened to kind of almost, I want to say, a board reset. And it kind of goes with what you say, you know, a lot of this. They gave a lot of hints like it's going to be a lot more fantasy than before.
Mm-hmm. And I think it'd be a welcome change, but then I know I said earlier I don't pay attention to the money aspect, but I also read, and I know that the show is, like, very expensive to create. So I wonder how they're going to be able to pull that off with the budgetary issues they're going to have.
I mean, it's a cash cow for HBO. It's like their number one. So, and it's kind of funny, you know, when it first came out, it was like, oh, we'll try. I would have never expected the show to become as big as it was. And I remember, the whole thing was, oh, you know, it's a nice show, but we still have True Blood and everything like that as our flagship show. Game of Thrones is their flagship show now. Like, people, even Game of Thrones gets rankings close to The Walking Dead. And HBO is a premium channel that's more expensive than every other premium channel. So for the ratings it gets, for the fact that a small percentage, you know, can actually watch it, not even counting everyone who, like, you know, watch it from downloads and sharing HBO Go, it's just amazing. So Money probably won't be an issue. It's not like they're going to have dragons every episode. They save it for one or two per season. You know,
well,
if they'll have any
issues. Especially after the last episode where she very, very unfairly locked away the dragons. but before we get into that part, I'm glad what you said about the show being a cash cow for HBO. Because I don't I've heard that the show costs $5 million an episode or something. Something like that. Now, my problem is, and you kind of touched on some of it, it's the biggest, HBO is still the biggest cable channel out there, premium.
Mm-hmm.
It's the most expensive one as well. It's also, like you said, the ratings for it, the amount of viewers that they get. The problem that they run into is the amount of illegal piracy of it. They said that there were 10 million downloads for the
But you know the you know the funny thing about that? They actually asked the president of HBO about that, and his whole thing was he didn't care. He, like, they asked, you know, how many people really watch it, considering how many people probably share HBO Go logins, and it's the most pirated show out. And he's like, I want people to watch it, because if they like it, they're more than likely they'll buy the Blu-ray set.
Yep.
So he didn't even sweat it.
Okay, but even going to that, and that actually helps my what I'm about to say. It's time to stop worrying about the money on it, because I seriously think Game of Thrones, and it doesn't have to be very many more episodes, it needs to extend to at least 12. It won't overstay its welcome, and they can flesh out some of this stuff a little bit more. The whole Theon Greyjoy thing got thrown to the wayside. There were, what, two episodes that he was featured this year? Three, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
With so many characters, so many different, you know, varied themes going on in here. I think two to three, but that would be 13, so it's bad luck, so it has to be 14. I think maybe stretch it to four, but I'll stick with 12. Two more episodes of this, give it some oomph. Now, as much as you know about some characters, you know very little about the rest. I mean, honestly, what do you really know about Stannis?
You mean, you know? Mr. Hardass.
Yeah, which I know you're not supposed to like him, but I think he's a lot. He's one of the funner characters on the show just because
you know,
of what a dick he is.
Yeah, but you know the funny thing is, in that universe and how they build everything, I think him and Jon Snow are probably the most honest, decent people on that entire show, if that makes any sense. And just, you know, to go like the last episode, you know, Stannis has that full army. He could just march his ass down to Westeros if he wanted, the King's Landing, like, you know what, I can take over. Instead, he's sacrificing for the greater good after, you know, being the second son and being slept on and dealing with, you know, hardship. And just, that kind of shows a lot. Like, most people are supremely selfish on that show, especially if they have power. And for him to kind of, you know, make another sacrifice kind of shows, he's a dick. He's a hard ass. He doesn't have a sense of humor. And he has, you know, like the personality of a bedpan. But he gets shit done.
That's exactly it with him. Because I know some of my book reader friends, like I mentioned Stannis. I was really talking about Blackwater from last year. And they're like, well, Stannis is such a dick. And I'm like, well, the guy's been wrong. He just goes and does stuff. You know, he's kind of like a Patton-style character where it's, we're going to do this. And that's it. I mean, or Arlie Ermey, actually, from Full Metal Jacket, one of those type of guys. So it's hard for me not to like him. Now, he's a little batshit when it comes to his red-haired concubine or whatever. If I use that word correctly, I'm not sure. But,
you used it correctly.
All right, sweet. I just like you saying that word. I can say it correctly. but it's like his character, I don't know if there's anything else, but like, who's the king now? Tommen. All right. He had that little tryst, not even a tryst really, with Queen Elizabeth from the Tudors. Can't remember her name either. It'd be those sort of things where flush this stuff out a little bit. And it can even be, like, it doesn't have to be an overly effects-driven show. They do a lot of effects that you don't even notice. Like, obviously, the stuff that pops out is, you know, the wall, woolly mammoth, the White Walkers, that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But they do, I mean, even certain scenery and background is computer-generated.
Yeah.
So, and it's that sort of stuff that I think, you know, a lot of people don't realize will take cost a lot of money, which I'm not sure why computer graphics cost a lot of money. Aren't we past the point where...
I think it's more like you can do it cheap, but I think to do it well and not notice still costs. Like, when I see the wall, for whatever reason, I keep forgetting that it's green screen. Because I'm like, well, they shoot in Iceland. Maybe just find a big wall in Iceland. Not realizing this is one big, giant green screen. And
yeah.
I think the hardest thing, the reason why it hasn't been a lot of successful fantasy shows is because it costs a lot of money for it to look decent. Most of the time it looks half-assed. And I think before Game of Thrones, Spartacus came closest, you know, to make it look realistic. But even then, it's kind of like, you knew it was green screen, but it looked good enough where it didn't stand out. A lot of times with Game of Thrones, like you said, it's green. Like, you don't know what part is green screen,
mm-hmm.
what part is real, and it's kind of like, it takes talent. I'm done.
Did you ever watch Rome?
I have it on Blu-ray. I haven't watched it yet, and I think I heard that its main problem was it was too expensive.
Right. Oh, yeah, it was not quality. And the only reason I mentioned that is when you mentioned the green screen, that sort of stuff, because that show was very heavily CGI. I mean, almost more so than Game of Thrones is, because they had to use accurate depictions of everything, where Game of Thrones, you know, you can research different architecture styles, which I'm sure Kevin's going to be like, oh, God, here we go. But, you know, for Game of Thrones, you can make up the way things look. You know, you can do whatever. Well, with Rome, set pieces and that had to look realistic. But, you know, that was the problem. And they, you know, and actually Rome ended perfectly. Julius Caesar died in the last episode. And
great comment.
I was like, well, yeah, that was the first season. So I was like, oh, okay, it's only going to be 1 year. Well, then they brought it back, and I was like, how the hell are they going to do this? And then they just forced in like 100 years of history almost in one season. It was very weird. It was good, but it was very weird. Totally worth watching, too. I'll drive this home again. And if Game of Thrones is driving that much traffic and that much revenue for HBO, I don't think they're allowed to use the, hey, it's an expensive show excuse anymore. I mean, I go to the comic store. They've got Game of Thrones action figures all over, T-shirts. They've got beer koozies, stickers, like it goes with what you put your drink on, a coaster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've got, I mean, go to Amazon, put in Game of Thrones, and it asks you in all these different categories. You go to the categories, and there's 50 different categories of Game of Thrones merchandise you can pick out, and that's excluding the books. So they can't say, you know, I don't like the excuse that it's an expensive show.
Yeah.
When you seemingly are making money left and right off of it.
Yeah. I don't think it's so much as the price anymore. I think that might have been initially. I think now it's kind of where they're running into – you know, the show is catching up with the book. Like, they split, you know, I guess book three into two seasons. They kind of dragged, you know, they've changed some stuff, and they started to change it more to fit the show. You know, you're starting to hear more complaints from the book crowd, but the hell with them.
You don't, because you just ignore them.
That's why they have the books. It's kind of like, you know, if you add extra episodes, you can add more time to certain people, but you run into it. I think 10 is, I always get mad because, like, the season's over. I can't wait for the next season. And I would like 12, but I think I like 10 because, like, you know, you're already counting down the next April. It's a good, clean number. And you only can do unless because they're talking about they already have, I guess, for three more seasons. It's going to get to a point where, you know, George Martin can say what he wants. They're going to, you know, end up making their own story. Like, they're going to pass to where the book is, and it's kind of like, you know, you got to plot for that and give time for that. And maybe it's not necessarily, you know, you don't want to go back to money, but it's a lot of travel. You know, they film on, what, 6-7 different countries. They're about to go, you know, they're about to add another one. It's kind of, you know, like, people got stuff to do.
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out. It's like, why are you filming in all these different countries? And I know that sounds kind of ridiculous to say it like that, but because I've actually got the final episode on right now, and I'm at the part with Braun and the skeleton fight.
Mm-hmm.
This is clearly on a set, so it's not like you need to be on location. But then they keep having all of these different scenery, which is clearly over in Europe somewhere. Well, have they ever heard of Canada or the Rocky Mountains, that sort of stuff? You could utilize, where the studios are.
You cannot pass a Mountie for a start. Come on now.
I understand.
Don't try to sneak some Canadian past me. Come on, they're from the north.
Well, did you know that New York City looks just like Vancouver?
Yeah, from watching those WB shows and a few movies for tax breaks, I kind of figured that out.
Actually, like I said, I've got the skeleton scene on. This is a badass scene, watching this for the fourth time now. I mean, you've got obviously people in costume, but then even the CGI skeletons, they kind of reminded me of the old, like, Jason versus the Argonauts and Clash of the Champions guys.
Mm-hmm.
The fights. Did I just say Clash of the Champions?
Yes, I was going to let it slide. You should not have repeated it. I was like, nobody's going to think about Rick Flair's thing coming out here.
With the amount of, I was going to say, with the amount of dead guys on those shows now, it could be the same thing. Yeah, no, Clash of the Titans, excuse me. As a quick aside, I was watching one of the Clash of the Champions on the Xbox One to try and get my achievement. I forgot that after a while, they just put whatever they wanted on those things. They didn't even have champions on there. It was just, you're in the league, here you go. So, yeah, but anyway, back to that. But this like the skeleton scene, you can see where the money is. Cause I'm not going to say it looks realistic because I've never seen a skeleton run before, but it looks like a skeleton running, not like something drawn in, little witch girl and all that stuff. Pretty cool. And I will say this for the little witch girl, that's what I'm going to call her. At least she blows the kid up instead of having him just get torn apart or turn into a White Walker. She's actually smart in that respect. And,
definitely.
Yeah. But yeah, this was really the part that started all the fantasy aspects of the show roaring through. So,
and it's kind of like, you know, I know people kind of rolled their eyes with that whole storyline, you know, Bran, you know, that whole magic cripple boy that's going to be the savior. But I'm like, considering most heroes in that show will end up dying because they're too damn noble and stupid, let somebody be a hero. Why can't be a cripple?
Yeah.
And they kind of drew a hint. They kind of left a hint because I've always, and between that storyline and theirs, you could kind of see it, you know, one day coalescing. And that last line, you know, the three-eyed raven guy said, you know, you're not going to be able to walk again, but you'll fly. And then the
That's
whole issue with Daenerys. Yeah, and the whole
issue,
Daenerys can't control her dragons. Well, somebody's going to have to control the dragons. Then you can kind of guess season 7 when Bran's a 25-year-old cripple with a damn full beard. No way that boy's aging.
Well, see, I immediately when he said, you will fly, I was like, that's going to look awkward. With the legs dangling. I mean, usually when you see someone flying, it's very smooth and they're nice and parallel to the ground. Like, that's going to look very, very strange. So, But yeah, yeah, this definitely started the strange turn of events for this show. This part kind of got, if it wasn't for the skeleton part though, this part of the show would have gotten overshadowed because of how the episode ended. You had the big fight with the Hound and Brienne.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got Tyrion killing off Tywin and Shay.
Yeah.
Now, apparently in the book, Brienne and the Hound never fought. But apparently in the book, she thought she fought somebody that was the Hound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Hound apparently gets left to die of the wound that they were taught that he sustained. So, all right. I like the fact that Brienne and him fought because I had no clue who was going to survive that.
Yeah, that's true. And it's kind of the whole thing, like, they're both fighting for noble reasons, more or less, even the Hound. And it's kind of like, you know, I guess you root for whoever you're a fan of on the show, because not really, like, you know, a good... That's kind of the one thing about Game of Thrones, you know, for them, beside a few glaring omissions, there's not always, like, completely good, completely bad. It's kind of like, you know, good and evil is basically point of view, and everything is a shade of gray. And, like, that whole thing is, like, you know Brienne has noble intentions because you watch the show, but Arryn Hound just sees some big husky chick with a sword looking like she worked for the Lannisters. Like, I'm going to trust her. So.
And oh, you know what? I'm an idiot. That's why he pointed out the fact that Lannisters steal, and he goes, are you working for the Lannisters? And she immediately says no, and I was like, really? That's the best you can offer us? All right, makes way more sense now.
Yeah, I mean, like, she wasn't really, but she kind of was, more or less. You know,
right.
He's going to say, I'm fighting for the memory of your dead mom. Don't worry about this nice Valyrian steel rare sword that Jaime Lannister gave me. Like, just ignore that part. Yeah. And it started, you know, it was a brutal fight. Like, it started with, you know, regular little sword play, and they're kicking each other in the balls on both sides. And I got
He kicked her right in the baby maker. That was some vicious stuff, man. that cracked me up. Cause that scream or howl, whatever you want to call it, she let out. I was like, woof, that had to hurt.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, she started it, though. She went low first, though. She deserved it. But, and that was the other thing. And, I mean, like, it was man versus woman. But in this case, it was basically just two warriors. It didn't even matter.
Yeah.
And until she cheats and grabs a rock and starts hitting him in the face, it's the end of Friday all of a sudden. Come on, Craig. Get up, Craig. Come on, be a man, Craig. Be a man. That's my boy. That's my dog. That was, God damn it. Was it Johnny Witherspoon? There's got to be a mashup of that. Someone's got to make a mashup of that.
Oh, my God.
Oh, shit, that would be funny.
Craig of Tarth. Debo.
Well, yeah, I was going to say Tiny Lister / Debo. He could be an extra on this show and wouldn't need makeup. Hell.
But you know what? At least she learned, because all the other times people fighting all noble and fair and they get their ass kicked. She was not afraid.
Yeah.
You know, like she said, she's not a knight and she's not a lady. She's a fighter. So... I give kudos to her.
Yeah.
Oprah could have took some lessons, Miss. Let me dance around and give my speech.
Yeah. I just typed something. I lost it. God damn it. Oh well. So now, yes, that's kind of what the theme of this, one of the themes though. Whenever Jamie was fighting with what's his name?
Bronn.
Okay, it is Bronn. There's too many Briennes, Bronns. And then there's Jamie. Why can't everyone be named Jamie, Bill, or Tony, something like that? It'd be a lot easier to figure out all this stuff.
Tony of Dorne.
Well, Ned got killed. Rob got killed. Who else? What other easy names got bumped off already?
Oh, Robert.
Even Drago.
Well, what's more plain than Robert? Man, he gets killed.
Yeah. And it'd be nice. Which the name thing we'll get into in the next segment when we talk about Tyrion and Tywin. But yeah, I did really like that because that whenever he was training with Jaime, you know, Jaime getting close and he like punch him or headbutt him or push him away. And Jaime was like, look, I'm like, what was that about? He's like, well, that's how you fight. You know, you fight to survive.
Exactly.
So, and then you really got that aspect of it in this fight. I mean, the Hound grabs her sword, which I don't know why she just didn't jam him with it, but whatever. And then, I mean, I thought he stabbed her. He pulled the knife out and he missed and went into the ground with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they started fighting, and then he punched her, and I thought he actually stabbed her in the stomach. And instead, I guess he was just punching her. So, yeah, I don't know. The Hound almost seemed like a redeemed character, only because it showed you what it takes to survive in this world, in their world, I should say.
Yeah, definitely.
And the way Arya did leave them.
Mm-hmm. I was shocked initially, but it kind of makes sense, you know, like that was a lesson he was teaching the whole time. You got to look out for yourself, be smart.
Yeah.
And, like, just how cold, like, she did it kind of, you know, I don't want to say cold-hearted, but it's kind of like, you know, I got to keep it moving.
Yeah,
she's always been a product of her environment. Like, she's, you know, if anyone's likely the hard knock life, it's definitely Arya.
Never mind. As soon as you said Hard Knocks Life, I started singing that song. And then I started picturing Jamie Foxx pulling up in a limousine so Cameron Diaz can swoon all over him. I don't know. I lost my train of thought on that. That damn song just totally took me out of it, too. So, now I know I keep saying I don't read the books, but I do read a site that has a book discussion and a TV-only discussion, so book readers aren't supposed to post in it. And I guess when in the book, and it's a non-spoiler, because I guess what happens in the show is going to happen too. That's the last you see of the Hound in the book.
Yeah.
So you don't know if he actually died or not.
So, you know what? If I hadn't watched the beginning of the episode, but we said that about the mountain. And then all of a sudden, it's like, you know, well, I might be able to save him. He won't be the same. And it's kind of like, so, I don't know. If I see the Hound on some golden peg leg 2 seasons from now, I kind of like, it's precedence.
Yeah. And then I guess at the end, when he's begging her to kill him, she says in the book, you don't deserve mercy or something like that, and walks away.
Mm-hmm.
I actually like how they did it in the show.
Yeah.
She just takes the silver and walks away because, you know, she learned from him, you know? And I don't know, to me that was like the bigger lesson. I mean, she knows he's going to die, I guess, and then she just walks off with him. So, and then she gets on the boat to somewhere because she's got her magic coins.
Bravos. Meet her old buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever he looks like now. So so that takes us up to, and I guess we've kind of skipped over the fact that Cersei tells her dad that she bangs her brother out, but that, I mean, unfortunately, the Daenerys and Cersei part kind of gets overshadowed by what happens at the end.
Yeah.
They got Logan and Stannis showing up, and then they got to the end. It was like, oh boy. So we get to the end, and Jaime basically does exactly what Tyrion asked him to do. Because it was a few episodes back, he goes, what can I do for you? And he goes, get me out of here. So Jaime shows up and does just that. Yeah. Now, again, not having read the books outside of, you know, discussion.
It played different. From what I've, yeah.
Well, I figured the Tyrion was a goner. Or that
yeah.
he knew he was getting set up.
Mm-hmm. My wife thought the same thing when she was watching it. Because it was kind of like, you know, this is too good to be true. But
yeah,
then when he took the detour, it's kind of like, you know, couldn't leave well enough alone. Like, on one hand, kind of think, you know, can't leave well enough alone. But on the other hand, it's like, you know, how much do you really trust Jamie?
And the only reason I thought of this was it was after everything was done. And he's in the box, and Varys, the guy who just said, to hell with this, I am not getting my hands dirty any longer. That was probably my favorite part of the show, actually.
Yeah.
Varys goes,
I mean,
what have you done? And then he hears the bells going off and everyone yelling, and
yeah,
he just turns right around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was
like,
great.
Basically, you know, I'm too old for this shit. I ain't going back.
Exactly.
So.
It's like, well, I'm not getting the crown now, so bye. But, it was the, after all that was over, it was the fact that Jaime's always had Tyrion's back the entire show.
Yeah.
And no matter what, and everyone even said, you always defend him, you always take his side, you always stick up for him. And here it was, and it's like, well, who are we as an audience not to remember that? But I guess, you know, people
just
over.
Well, they did a good job this season of kind of building that up. I think going into season 4, you might not remember that. Like, you know, well, he helped, when you first saw him first episode, he gave him a few extra whores. But other than that, it's kind of like, you know, they've been cracking jokes. You knew Cersei and Tyrion kind of like had their beef. But she didn't feel like, you know, that whole brotherly connection. But this season kind of built it up enough, so this didn't seem out the blue.
Mm-hmm.
What definitely seemed out the blue is what happened, you know, because I didn't read the book. So, like, I read the first and a half book. So, seeing Shay in Tywin's bed, that kind of threw me for
a loop. Now, there's a part of that that apparently was cut out from the book that apparently it goes back to him talking, like Tyrion telling Shay about being married.
And I guess
Tywin found out about her and paid guys to gang rape her. And for every guy that raped her, they would put a silver dollar in her hand just to make sure they knew how many guys it was. I was like, oh my God. So then, I can't tell, did Tywin know the entire time that Shay was there?
Yeah, I think somebody told him. Like, he knew. That's why he kind of dripping in. Like, you know, if you bring that whore around again, I'm going to cut her throat and everything.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, she's like, I would say he's too smart not to have known the way they built it up.
Right.
And it definitely played differently from the book because I was kind of like they were together for a while, but you don't know how long. And on the show, you would have never guessed until you saw them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, when Tyrion went up, when he saw the portal or hatch, whatever you want to call it, up to his quarters, and you saw someone in bed, and I'm like, I wonder who that is. And for part of me, honestly, thought it was Cersei. And I was like, this show has just gone off the deep end. But when she rolled over, I was like, oh, you bitch. And it explains why she was so vicious during the trial.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, something always rang hollow in that trial where she didn't believe that Tyrion loved her. And I was like, this guy's clearly been doing all this stuff to tell you to go away to help out.
Well,
so,
it's funny because, like, it's a split between, and it's a, you know, we go on book and show. People had complaints with the biggest thing, and I guess since I have a spoiler, like, I guess there was a part where, you know, in the show, he was always, you know, my first wife was a whore, and I did this and everything like that, and then come to find out she wasn't really a whore. She was, like, a common girl and everything. And it's kind of like,
okay.
And that scene between Jaime and Tyrion, plays a lot differently in the book. Like, it's not, you know, we hug it out, I see you again. It's kind of like, you know, if I see you again, I kill you type thing.
Oh.
Because he finds out from Jamie. And then how they play Shay is different. Like, Shay in the book is a lot more, you know, gold diggerish, if it makes sense. You never find out, you know, like that whole love thing. So not having that part in, with, you know, his first wife kind of makes how the Shay scene plays out. Because it fits the show better, knowing it that way, than how the book happened.
Yeah.
They changed the book.
Well, I think it, I guess you kind of get, like, well, no, not until you said that Shay was kind of a gold digger did that actually make more sense. She bounced from Tyrion to Tywin because he's willing to pay her and willing to give her, probably give her more money to say the things at the trial and all that. So that would have actually helped a little bit. But I don't, the scene, I had no idea who he was going to find when he went in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to figure out if he did. Like, was he going,
no,
was he going up there to expect his dad?
I don't know what. I think, I don't know what his whole thing. My wife was like, what is this idiot doing? Just leave. Because I was like, and my whole thing is, you know, you're escaping. Okay, that's all well and good. That ride ain't going, you know, like the taxi don't wait forever during normal things. This is not during normal times. He just, he's not the quickest runner at all. He's just walking slow. He's checking the bit. I don't know what he was expecting. I don't think he was expecting Shay. And then that whole thing, you know, first thing she did is went after him. You know, like,
mm-hmm.
and it, like love turned to hate in the heart. There's just a lot of emotion playing that scene. And just, yeah, that was a tough scene to watch. Cause it's kind of like,
toughest,
you know,
that's, part, I was talking to my buddy Eric about it. The toughest part was after, you know, he's choking her out. And as he's choking her out, you just see him, you know, it's all anger. And then once she stops moving, that realization of what just happened hits him.
Mm-hmm.
And he just says, he like whimpers, I'm sorry. I was like, oh, God. I mean, it's like, is that what like real domestic murder is like? Like, you lose your shit. And then all of a sudden you go, wait a minute, what did I just do?
That's how they talk about it, basically. So,
I hope I never find out. Or hopefully I'm on, you know, or hopefully I'm on the end where I don't have to worry about it because I'm the dead one. That'd be fine. Yeah, just that scene's on right now, and I don't know when he goes up and they show the hand of the king, you know, the pendant. I'm like, okay, but he's got no weapon. So what the hell is he gonna do? Was he just going to be like, ha-ha, Dad, I'm out of here?
Yeah.
You know, I was confused. And maybe there's something in the book that I don't know. But, and then it leads to Tyrion basically telling Dad to go screw himself. I was hoping for a headshot. But, you know, beggars can't be choosers, I guess.
Yeah.
If he hated Tyrion so much, why in the hell is his name Tyrion? Your name is Tywin. You basically have the exact same name, save two letters.
Family.
You name, yeah. You named your favorite son Jaime. You named the girl Cersei. Neither of them sound anything like your name, but the one you hate the most, you named Tyrion.
Yeah, I think that whole thing kind of played, you know, like family, and that was. Tywin's idea of family never really meshed with how his own family was. And I talked about it with somebody else, like, you know, he knows what everything that's going on except right under his nose. You know, like that whole thing. I was always under the impression that he knew, you know, Cersei and Jaime and all that stuff with Joffrey. Like, you know, he kind of knew it and was kind of like hiding it. But it's, I don't know if they played like he didn't know or he was in denial, but they just played like, you know, like what the fuck, what the hell are you talking about? And Cersei's
well,
like,
was,
look,
yeah.
Like, you know, Robert has
yeah.
brown-haired kids. All my kids are blonde. Put two and two together, dummy.
Yeah, that was the part that's, and even she says, like, you truly didn't know. Now, I don't know if he just didn't know or if it was a total unacceptance of the truth. That no one, like, you know, you can hear rumors all you want. It's like if your girl's cheating on you and everyone's like, no, man, they're cheating on you. Like, no,
nah,
no,
you don't
no,
know
no,
that.
No, they're not.
you don't really know that.
Then she comes up and goes, I've been cheating on you. And you're like, what? I had no idea. I'd never heard of this before. That's what I figured it was. And it was like he finally had, like, the proof, and he didn't know how to process it. I mean, what a blaze of glory. Your two kids are having sex and have your, what would they be? I mean, they'd be grandkids slash, yeah, I guess they'd just be grandkids, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So he got off easy. But, but yeah. And I like how he tries to weasel his way out.
Yeah, I would never kill you. You're a Lannister. Come on, son.
Yeah. Like, he's underestimating this kid to the very end. Like,
mm-hmm.
But yeah. And I think that, and to me, that's why when he says, I have always been your son. And then he shoots him. And it's like, well, yeah, that's that vicious streak that the dad has. The first one was for calling this girl a whore. And then the second one was basically showing him, yeah, see?
Yeah.
I can.
Like.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, call my girl whore one more. Like, you got one more time.
Yeah. The girl I just strangled in your bed, jackass. Don't call her a whore. How dare you? But, and that's why, I don't know. I think that's why this show is so popular. To round out the convo on this, you've got a show that has incest. I'm starting low here. You've got a show that started out with incest. Then you've got a blonde chick in the Middle East playing a Christ figure with dragons. You've got zombies outside of a wall that
mm-hmm.
basically can touch babies, turn them into zombie babies, with a bunch of, like, hippies on the outside getting saved by the establishment. and then inside of this wall, you've got the incestuous people with their midget brother that just murdered their father and his whore being helped to safety by a eunuch on a pirate ship. And it's like, it's just,
you
it's
never,
like a smoothie.
Never met your eyes. Yeah.
Yeah. You put all these ingredients in a blender and it tastes good. And that's what this show is. It's got all these ridiculous elements of stuff and it just works. So
yeah.
Now we have to wait till next April.
Yep.
God.
And I think one problem people have been bringing up is kind of like, you know, they're knocking off. One of the things people like about the show is like, for the most part, no one's safe. You don't know who's going to get knocked off. But it gets to a certain point where you're knocking off all these great characters, and it's kind of like, you know, who's left to carry it. You know, like you didn't mind so much when, you know, Ned Stark died, and then Rob and the mom and everything like that. But then, you know, even Khal Drogo, because he was cool. But like this season, they build up like Oberon Martell's, like, you know, like super badass. He doesn't even last for the season. You knock off Joffrey. So, you know, he was the person you could hate the most. And then Tywin is kind of like people respect the most. You knock him off. And it's kind of like, you know, you might get to a point where you got Jon Snow, Stannis, and the Onion Knight running around. carrying 10 minute scene is kind of like, you know, do I really want 12 episodes of seeing, you know, a eunuch super warrior and some slave learning English and, you know, making googly eyes. And
super slave.
You know, like you start giving, and that's the thing where I'm like, I'm not too much into, like, I understand why you want to add extra episodes. It kind of like you get to a point where I don't know how many new characters you have, but they're knocking off a lot of, you know, memorable characters. And
yeah.
There's still a lot of people left. There's still plenty of time to give. But it's cool that Sansa is now because she hit puberty and she's wearing black. I don't know if I can, you know, see her Littlefinger, you know, flirt awkwardly for 10, 15 minutes, if that makes sense.
Yeah. All right. And I remembered what I lost my track of thought later on or earlier was. And it sort of had something to do with that combo at the time. But so is Littlefinger full of shit, by the way? Did he have anything to do with Joffrey being killed?
No,
or
he
was that.
No, yeah, no, that's.
All right,
been,
it almost seemed like Tywin was in on it. Tywin, like, he knew how much of a, you know, a jerk, since I lost my train of thought again. But he knew how much of a problem Joffrey was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
I mean, maybe he was working in concert with all of them, but.
I'll say this. He didn't seem too beat up about it. Kind of like, you know, somebody did my work for me. He knew Tyrion didn't do it, but it's kind of like, you know, I can use this, kill two birds with one stone. I throw Tyrion to the wolves. Jaime will do what I want him to do. I can get Jaime back. And then Joffrey's gone anyway, and I can control Tommen better. So it's kind of like he may not have had a part of it, but it worked out for him. He's going to use it to his advantage. But they built – it's funny when you bring up Littlefinger. You never really thought of him as, like, you know, a big deal. Even though they dropped hints that he was a big deal, you saw what happened with Ned Stark. You heard Varys all the time saying, you know, like, this is the most dangerous man walking around, and nobody realizes it. And it's kind of like people drop hints, and it's kind of like, you know, that's Carcetti from The Wire. You know, I'm worried more about Daenerys and Tywin and stuff. And then up until this season where it's like, you know, I've been plotting this since Jump Street, and nobody even noticed. And it's like, oh. Pay attention to one that doesn't talk the most.
Yeah, and he just keeps on keeping on. And no one does anything about it. And, yeah, that's interesting. Are you having a sword fight in the background?
Putting up sodas.
But, well, yeah, you're right. We did not get to the Transformers again this week.
It's coming out soon, so.
I was going to say, when does that hunk of garbage come out anyway?
I'm sorry, the next classic in the Michael Bay saga comes out. It's either, I think it is either this weekend or definitely next weekend. So it's coming up soon.
All right.
I think it's next weekend.
All right. So unless one of us sees Edge of Tomorrow, we can talk about Transformers and Michael Bay in general, because I had the pleasure of seeing Pain and Gain.
Yeah, I'm glad you saw that.
I'm not.
See, you can't even blame that one on Michael Bay. And that's our
He's a director. He can call for script rewrites.
Yeah, Jesus. I'll say this. That's on one, you know, quick thing before we go. People always get on Michael Bay, and with good reason, because they talk about, you know, his characters are too cartoonish and they're too broad. Pain and Gain was, you know, like you throw that word around based on a true story. I read the article about it. It wasn't that much of an exaggeration. He probably treated them better than they actually were. Like, they were cartoon doofuses. So when they say, oh, it's too broad and everything like that, it's like, you know, you can disagree with history, but you can't say it's a lie if it happened.
Yeah. Oh, no. I had no problem with it being a lie. It was just, I don't know. We'll talk about it next week.
Okay.
Including my favorite part, a legit laugh-out-loud, like, funny part of the movie that I thought was really, really good for a change. So we're going to wrap this up. We're going to try and improve the quality next week once Shahid gets out of his hillbilly cable community and figures out something, and I can replace equipment from the lightning strike. Although the lightning strike did get me a brand new DVR box that has a ridiculous amount of storage. Thank God. I would record like 4 or 5 like hour-long episodes, and I'd be at 50%. It was awesome.
Wow. And you called me a hillbilly.
Well, when they handed me the DVR when I first moved here, I looked at it. I'm like, wow, this is really old. It looked like a front loader VCR. I'm sorry, a top loader VCR.
Wow.
So,
you really took it back.
So when the tech came out, he handed me this new one, or showed me the new one. I was like, he's like, yep, brand new. I'm like, they said that this other one was just fine. It was new. He's like, no, like, that is old. That is old, man. We don't even put those out anymore. I haven't been here a year. And I was like, I knew she was lying. I knew that lady was lying. But what are you going to do? So.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I'm going to the same thing, like, you know, DirecTV guy came and replaced my Time Warner. So You don't have to worry about space. You got a terabyte hard drive for your DVR. My wife is like,
TV,
is that big?
Yeah,
my wife is like, is that big? I'm like, yeah. That's
pretty big. Well, that's the thing. At the house in South Carolina, I go back, and they'd have, like, they have 17 movies. They always record whatever they can whenever there's a free weekend or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's at, like, 38%. I'm like, God, I'm so jealous. And the picture's way better than cable. And, yes, you can tell it's different. So, anyways,
yeah.
We can get into that, too, next week.
Okay.
Anything to not talk about Michael Bay and Transformers. So, all right, so... thanks for listening. Like I said, we'll get the quality back up and hopefully a complete show, which is going to be weird for people. I'm Jeremy. That's Shahid. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm, what am I? I'm Granny Maze. And you're what, Farm? What?
I'm Samoa Joe Nation of Violence.
Ew. Terrible, terrible. Yeah, you can email us, stuntgrant@gmail.com. Look for us on Facebook. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Beyond Pod, any of that. Just look for Stunt Granny. This is actually Stunt Granny Presents. So, out of that, I'm going to get out of here. I'll let Shahid say bye, and we'll get at you next week.
For Jeremy May, this is Shahid Abdul-Hadi. Hope you enjoyed the show, and we are out.